chains. He's a chain breaker.
Welcome to the Overcomers Radio Hour with Sean, Ryan, and friends. Please feel free to call us at 609-614-3801 so we may assist you in overcoming life-controlling issues. Here's Sean Ryan.
Hello and welcome to the Overcomers Hours, where hope is still alive and well. It is 10 o'clock on a Friday. It's a beautiful Friday night. I just came from the Overcomers meeting. It was a great meeting, and I'm here with, back by popular demand, Coleman Wallace.
I also was at the Overcomers meeting.
You were at the Overcomers meeting. Yes, and it was a good meeting.
It was really good. Right? I love Annette.
Annette Toomey, she is something else.
Yes.
Okay? She 87 years old, my man.
And still hitting the streets hard.
Pounding the pavement out there, giving the gospel to the lost and dying world.
What an inspiration.
I know. If I'm half the woman she is, I'm going to be all right.
Oh, okay.
You know what I meant by that. You know what I meant by that. So she did a great, it was really good. And she brought up some good points about things that are going on in our communities right now, what's happening with the drug epidemic. And we're definitely going to support her in her cause.
Yes, we will.
Yes. So listen, I want to try to get this night started kind of quickly because we have a great testimony tonight, Coleman.
All right.
Okay. Last week we had Michelle Silva out of Indiana. Okay. And she was fabulous. I mean, what a great story of where her life was, drug addiction as far as prescription pills, alcohol, a lot of different problems, depression, suicidal thoughts, the whole nine. And then God got a hold of her. And after following us on Facebook, okay, and getting involved in kind of what we're doing, she got the Life Recovered Bible, the Life Recovered Workbook, and after about a year, she decided to start her own Overcomers group.
What a testimony that was. We are now friends on Facebook. I'm so happy. Yes, absolutely. We're following each other, and it is such a joy to be in the good company, good people.
That's right. That's right. And she's doing a wonderful job out there in Indiana. So, Michelle, if you're listening and your Indiana peeps are listening, hello from good old cold New Jersey.
Okay. Shout out.
That's right. That's right. So we love you and we appreciate what you're doing out there. And you're in our prayers. And I think it's amazing what God's doing. So tonight, though, we have Lucy Dubose. Okay. I hope I'm saying her last name right. I should have asked her if I was pronouncing her last name right earlier when I was talking to her, but I forgot. So we have Lucy Dubose. Her and her husband run Faces of Change. So Faces of Change is an amazing ministry down in Camden. Because you know where the problems are, where there's a big problem with drug addiction, homelessness, and things like that.
Yes.
Streets of Camden.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And been there, done that.
Me and you have frequented Camden many, many times for many, many years. And Lucy is boots on the ground down there making it happen. And her story, I don't want to tell too much because I don't get too much away, but her story is awesome.
Looking forward to it.
I know. And what she's doing now is awesome. So where God has brought her from to where she is now, just like Michelle, it's amazing. You know what? And I'm not trying to beat people over the head with all these testimonies. I'm just trying to prove a point. Okay?
All right.
That when you get in the will of God, when you are focused on Christ and what he has for you, and you submit to his rule, to his lordship in your life, right? And you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will lift you up in due time.
Amen.
Yep, it ain't me saying that. It's the Bible saying it. All right? And Michelle and Lucy are living examples of that. So I like to prove the Bible right through the people.
All right.
Does that sound good?
That sounds excellent.
All right. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I want to talk about the prizes real quick because the phones are working. I just was testing them out with Joe. Mm-hmm. And even Carl, the engineer, he called in, and they're working. So I'm going to be answering the phones tonight. So I want people to get entered to win some prizes. And I got two different things you're going to enter with one phone call. I mean, can't beat that. You get two for one, right?
That's great, man. Come on, let's go.
That's right. All right. So the first one is the contest we've been running, right? First place is $500 or the Babe Ruth book. Second place is the Wilt Chamberlain statue or $100, okay? Now, I'm going to change it up a little bit tonight, though. What I want you to do is because when Lucy's on, here's what I want. You're going to hear her testimony, and you're going to have some questions for her. So what I'd like you to do is instead of giving me a testimony, a praise report, or a Bible verse, you still can do that. But I'd like you to call in with your question for Lucy. And I'm going to give it to her. And I'm going to let her answer it over the air. I think it's the first time we've ever done that. I'd like to give it a shot.
Well, let's go for
it. Okay? Now, the second thing you'll enter with this one phone call is I've been blessed to give away two tickets to the Christmas concert that's coming to the Fountain of Life December 18th. Ooh. I know. Coleman, you can't enter. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Okay? You work for the company. So, just doesn't work that way. But I'm going to see what I can do for you anyway.
Right.
See if I can hook you up. Anyway, so what we're going to do is you're going to call in with a question for Lucy, and I'm going to enter you in for the contest for us, and then I'm going to enter you in to win two tickets to December 18th's Christmas concert here at the Fountain of Life with Paul Baloche, Dave Pettigrew, and man, I can't remember the other person's name, but she's good too. And Dave Pettigrew, so I believe from Third Day, right? He's one of the singers, one of the guys who was the Third Day. So if you know anything about Third Day, they're a good band.
They're a very good band.
So he's going to be here singing Christmas songs. And what a great night it is. You're just going to go hang out. You're going to come to church. You're going to bring your family or your girlfriend or your wife or whatever. And you're going to sit and you're going to listen to some good old fashioned and some new modern Christmas songs, get in the Christmas spirit, and just enjoy yourself. All right? For free. Because I'm going to give you two tickets if you call in. And we pick you. Hopefully we'll pick you if you call in. All right, so that's the plan for tonight. So what I don't want to do is take up too much time because my wife already told me I talk too much. That's what she said. She said, you got to stop talking so much, Sean, and let the other people talk a little bit more. So you talk too much. People can't call in. You're taking up too much time. So I'm going to do what she says, right? She's going to hit me when I get home. I'm going to do what Michelle Ryan says and stop talking so much and get things rolling. So here's what I want to do, though. Here's what I do want to do because Lucy works with the homeless. And she works with drug addicts.
Okay.
Okay? And she goes out there and gives these people hope and a chance. So what I decided to do, because I heard something the other day, Coleman, and we were talking about this in a group, that the life expectancy of people now for the past 3 years has been in decline.
No.
Okay? Yes. So for the past, let's say, four decades, the life expectancy because of modern medicine and all that stuff for people has gone up. Okay, maybe like 4 or 5 months every year. So we're talking, you know, you're talking 10, 15 years of life expectancy has gone up.
All right.
So the CDC just came out with their report saying that life expectancy is now declining. Okay. Do you know why life expectancy is now declining?
Oh.
Any idea? Probably not.
No.
You probably knew, you probably forgot. Yeah. So let me remind you what it is. Okay. So life, suicides and drug overdoses pushed up U.S. deaths last year and drove a continuing decline in how long Americans are expected to live.
Wow.
So overdoses, because there's so many every year, and suicides, because there's so many every year now, is now pushing the life expectancy of humans lower.
That is an incredible stat.
Yeah. So that's how bad the epidemic is right now. And a lot of it is really with people, middle-aged people. Okay, we're going to say in their 25 to 30 range up until about 50. Okay, that is the core people that the CDC says are overdosing or committing suicide. Okay, so now it's declining life expectancy. Now, I want you to hear this. It says, Dr. Redfield, the CDC director, said in a statement that the suicide death rate last year was the highest it's been in 50 years, according to U.S. government records. Okay, and they didn't speculate what's exactly behind it, but William Deitz, a disease prevention expert at George Washington University, a main guy, smart guy, right? George Washington University, a disease prevention expert said this, that he sees a sense of hopelessness, that financial struggles, a widening income gap, and divisive politics are all casting a pall over many Americans, he suggested. He said, I really do believe that people are increasingly hopeless, and that leads to drug use. It leads potentially to suicide. So this is why we do the show, okay? This is why we have the Overcomers Community Group. This is why we have the Overcomers Radio Hour, because we want to let people know that this guy's wrong, okay? There is hope.
There is hope.
He may not see it, but those in Christ, we see it, and we know it, okay? And we want others to know it, too. You listening out there, we want you to know that there is hope. That's right, okay? So that's one thing right now with the drug epidemic being so bad. And then I pulled up something on homelessness because this is what Lucy does. She goes out there, her husband and her team, and they go out there and they go talk to the homeless and offer them help. So I wanted to know how many homeless people, I mean, what is it like? How many homeless people are there? So I pulled up some information, right? A scope of homelessness in the United States, right? On a single night in January 2017, there were 553,742 people experiencing homelessness in the United States.
I'm sorry. How many?
553,742 people experience homelessness in the United States on any given night, basically throughout the year. But this is, they're just saying January right now. So in the bitter freezing cold, there's 500,000 people who are homeless, who have no place to go. Okay. 20% of those experiencing this homelessness, which is 114,000 roughly, were children under the age of 18. Okay. 10%, 53,000 people, were between the ages of 18 and 24. 70%, which is 385,000, were 25 years or older. So this is a major problem that we have. And what really struck me is the 20% of those individuals were children under 18 years old.
That's staggering.
Yeah. So you have little kids, 114,000 kids who are living homeless on the streets. Mm-hmm. Now, whether it be with a parent or whatever, it doesn't matter. They're still homeless. Okay. And this is why I'm such a fan of Faces of Change and what they're doing. One, because, you know, my heart is with obviously life controlling issues, addiction and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they go out and that this is, they're getting, killing, what do they say? Two birds with one stone.
Right.
Right. They're helping the homeless epidemic and those who are dealing with life controlling issues. Mm-hmm. And it, I tell you, to go out there and pound the pavement, boots on the ground, is what we need.
They're absolutely fulfilling one of those, I'm not going to say the Great Commission,
right?
But we have to be mindful of the elderly,
right?
The widow,
right?
And the children.
That's right. That's right. And they're, you know, they're out there doing what God has called us to do, right?
Yes.
Love thy neighbor. That's okay. It. Now, here's what I want to mention too. This is what really gets me. I wanted to see how much money that the government has put out to try to help the drug epidemic since 2015. Are you ready?
This is going
to
be
good. Okay, this is good. So for substance abuse treatment and prevention, listen, everybody, I want you to hear this. Because this amount of money, I'm telling you right now, if me and Lucy had this kind of money, we could do some damage, okay? Plus, I'd have a really nice car.
All right, how much is that?
$2.18 trillion in 2015 for substance abuse treatment and prevention.
Whoa.
Trillion, not billion, not million. Trillion. That's nine zeros? Nine zeros, and then a comma, and then some more stuff.
A bunch of numbers.
Bunch of numbers, right. You're at least 10, I think. Mm-hmm. 10 is 1 trillion, if you had the one. 2016, it was 2.19 trillion, and in 2017, 2.66 trillion. So in 2017, when the drug epidemic was the worst it's ever been in the history of the United States, we put out 2.6 trillion and accomplished absolutely pretty much nothing.
Nothing. Isn't it getting worse?
It's getting worse. So we're spending more money, yet the epidemic's getting worse. Okay, let me tell you. I know Faces of Change. I follow them on Facebook and I follow them on Instagram. And here's what I see. They're out there. They're talking to the people. They're feeding them. They're encouraging them. They're loving them. They're giving them the gospel. And they're offering them help. And they're putting them in programs. Okay, I don't know what their success rate is, but it's probably pretty darn good. And then I get to see on Facebook or on Instagram, the person coming back after they graduated from the program and speaking at their place. And that's what it's all about. So it just inspires me when I see stuff like that.
It's discipleship.
That's right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break real fast. I'm going to get Lucy on the phone and we're going to hear a little bit about her story because it is good, about her battle with addiction, about life controlling issues, and what God and has brought her to, where he has brought her to now, and what they're out there doing to make a difference in our community. So I'm going to take a quick 3-4 minute break. I'm going to play a nice song, and then we'll be back to get Lucy on the phone. All right, so we're back on the air right now. It's Overcomers Radio Hour. It is 10:17, and guess who I have on the phone, Coleman?
Lucy?
Man, you are good, Coleman.
Oh, that's
so nice. I got Lucy DeBose from Faces of Change in Camden. The great ministry is doing great things down there. And she's going to talk a little bit about her testimony, where she's been, what she went through, and what God's doing with her. Now, Lucy, thank you so much for coming on the air tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Oh. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm excited to have you. Hold on, I got to turn your mic up. It's my fault. There we go. So now I got you on. I'm sorry. So, Lucy, thanks for coming on the air. I know I'm keeping you up late. It's 10:18. I don't know if it's past your bedtime or not. It's usually past my bedtime, but on Friday nights, I stay up late.
I stayed up just for the Overcomers radio show.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Now, I hope you told everybody down there in Camden to listen in.
Yes. We've been spreading the word today.
All right. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your testimony because it's so powerful and it's so amazing. And I know you're a Hoving Home graduate. You know, we always have a heart for the Hoving Home.
That's right.
So,
yes, I am.
Yep. So could you tell me a little bit about, you know, that, where you came from? I think you're a Camden girl your whole life, right?
Yeah, grew up, born and raised in Camden my whole life. I'm a project girl, so we moved around to several of the projects in the city. Grew up with a single mom, two siblings, me and two others. And at a very early age, because of a lot of things that have happened in my childhood, first of all, growing up in Camden is really rough. And I went through a lot of things, even in school, it was a really hard time, but I was also sexually abused multiple times, and I went through a lot of things growing up as a child that, you know, by the time I got into my teens, it was just the next place to go to was to pick up and use.
Right. So when did you start using, let me just talk about one thing, and I don't want to get too much into it, but because this is a big problem, especially with women, and getting into drug addiction and having a lot of life controlling issues is you mentioned, sexually abused. And, I know that, from being in this, in, you know, dealing with people for so long now that is, especially with women, they like to keep that in and suppress that. For whatever reason, because, you know, men too, because they're embarrassed or whatever. And it's nothing that they should be embarrassed about. It's just it's a topic that a lot of people don't want to talk about. So they try to just suppress it. And then what happens when you suppress that, you don't have victory over that.
Correct.
So when was the first time, and we're going to address that again. When was the first time you started picking up and using?
Excuse me?
When was the first time you started picking up and using drugs or alcohol?
I started using at a pretty young age, about the age of 13 years old, and I became pretty much a full-blown user by the time I was 16. It was off and on, but it got serious pretty early in my teens.
Right. Now,
I dropped out of school by the time I was 16 years old, and I was just living the lifestyle, you know, spiraling downhill.
Wow. So now let me ask you a question with regards to the abuse. Was that during those times where you kind of gravitated towards drugs? Was that kind of like the what you used as kind of your out?
Well, you know, I was abused growing up as a kid, and it had happened multiple times by several different people, and I had never said anything about it. I never felt comfortable to speak about it, and so I always just kind of kept it in, and I felt a lot of shame about it, a lot of guilt. It was just really suppressed, and I think that's what made it so much easier for me to just turn to drugs. You know, I got involved with the wrong crowd. I got hooked up with a drug dealer. My life just spiraled out of control, and I found that getting high was really easy for me. It helped me forget. Right. It helped me cope. It helped me just to deal with things. And before I knew it, you know, it had, just like drugs do, taken over my entire life. And then that's all that I wanted to do. I had a daughter out of wedlock, and I was married to an abusive drug dealer who was very abusive. And, you know, even he didn't want anything to do with me at the end because my addiction had gotten so bad. I had to give my daughter to my mom, and I was just running the street from crack house to crack house, getting high. That's all I wanted to do. I hated being sober because every time I was sober, I would think about the damage, and I would think about my daughter, and I would think about how horrible my life had gotten, And, you know, somewhere down the road, my mother had gotten saved. And so I had been in and out of church a little bit. I had visited as a teen. And so I knew about God. And God in his mercy, even in my addiction, he would show up. God shows up at the crack house.
Yes.
God shows up on the streets of Camden. And he would show up and minister to me. And I always knew there was this little tiny glimpse of hope inside of me that would always know, like, one day God's going to rescue me, yeah, and God's going to save me, and he's going to pull me out of this.
Amen.
And I held on to that no matter how bad things got.
Amen. Amen. That's amazing. And let me tell you, I can relate with you on some of those things.
Absolutely.
Number one, running from your problems and getting so high that it numbs, you know, whatever you're dealing with. You know, it was just
that vicious cycle, right?
Yeah, it was just so easy to not have to deal with it and just get high. And it just make all the pain go away for a while. And then when it would start coming back, you would just get high again. And getting sober was very depressing because you would just think about your life and you'd be like, what the heck am I doing? Where am I at? Look what I've done to my children. Look what I've done to my family. I have nothing. I'm living on the streets. I'm a mess. And there's just, you know, and there's like no hope. Okay.
Yes.
And I love what you said about God goes to the crack houses, because we just,
I'm
gonna tell you right now, we just had our group, right? And we had Annette Toomey come here. She's 87-year-old woman. I mean, she is a powerhouse, right?
Absolutely.
And she just, what did she just say? She said, she just went into a crack house. She was just talking about how she'll go into the crack house. That's right.
She's
she goes,
not afraid.
She's not afraid. I'll go in that crack house. She said, the Lord's not going to send me in there to die. He's going to send me in there to spread his word and save somebody. So what you just said, it was so funny to me how that lined up with what you were just talking about. I mean, that is amazing.
Because God is everywhere.
That's right.
And he's everywhere. And he's all of him. Everywhere he goes, and he takes all of him, you know. So we've been learning that actually from my pastor, who's been teaching that recently, and just letting us know how God is there for us.
Amen.
You know, he really does bring the hope.
That's
that
right.
Needs.
He does. So listen, here's what I'm going to do. Stay on the phone. I'm not going to take a break, but I do have a caller calling in. So I'm going to take the call and see if they have a question for you. All right. So hold on 1 second.
Oh, boy.
All right. Here we go. Yeah, don't get nervous now. Overcomers Radio, hello? You're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi. This is Faith.
Hey, Faith.
I wanted to know how she was able to come to terms with all of the early abuse in her childhood and stuff after she became clean.
Okay, let me talk to you. So the question was, how were you able to come to terms with all the early child abuse after you got clean? Like, what was it that got you over that hump after you got clean to deal with that type of abuse?
That's a really good question. So I had suppressed that for so many years. Like, it's amazing how we can learn how to survive. Like, our brains can do things that are absolutely incredible. And so I put all of that away. And almost was in complete denial that I was even sexually abused growing up. Like, I had really put it all away. And when I went into the Walter Holding Home, there's a learning center there. And so one day, while I was in the learning center, I was reading a book. I believe it was Beauty for Ashes. I believe that's what the name of the book was. And there was something that was said in that book that triggered all the memories to come back. And right there, I'm sitting at my cubicle at the learning center, and the flood of memories come back. And it's weird because they had always been there, but I would never look at them. And so for the first time, with God by my side, with the Holy Spirit, I took a look, and I realized, you know, it all came rushing back in. And I remember I was a mess. It was so much. You know, I remember crying and saying, God, I have so much baggage. I don't know what to do with all of this. I don't even know where to begin. And I remember God just saying to me, the Holy Spirit ministering to my heart and saying, I want you to put an invisible box right here up in the air beside you. And I want you to take everything and put it into that box. Just put it all in and I'm going to take one thing at a time out of that box, and we're going to work on it. You keep your hands out of the box, because it's not your job. I'm going to take one thing out, and we're going to work on it. And that's exactly what he did. He put a lot of heart surgery on me, a lot of healing, a lot of deliverance while I was in the program. But then even after, because, the program will tell you, I wasn't easy. I went away 6 other times before this program, finished almost all of them. A month later, was back on the street. The 7th time I went to the Walter Hogan home, I finished 15 months, went back home for a month, had to come back to restoration. So never give up on people. Never give up, because God is working, even in those times when we don't see anything happen. And the last time I went away, I went to Rhode Island after the home to Bible college, and I got a counselor, because the sexual abuse was something that was so deep that I needed a little extra help to really dig down in there and pull that out. And so I began to see a counselor, and she began to walk me through some more healing in that area, and we were able to deal with a lot of it. Sexual abuse is like spider leg. It's like a spider with lots of legs. And so you can get rid of one leg, and there's still 5 other legs to deal with later. Mm. And so it's been a journey. I'm still healing even now.
Amen.
I hope that helped.
Amen. That was great, Faith. Did you
that
hear
was an excellent. Yes, I heard it. And, I've experienced a lot of that myself. And it's just confirming to hear that other people have kind of gone through that same process and come out with wonderful results as well.
Hold on. Yes. Hold on. Faith,
there we go.
Okay.
That was great. So, Faith, thank you for the question. And I hope that helped a little bit. So what I want to do now is I'm going to enter you in for the contest, right?
So well, thank you.
We're gonna get you in. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you a number. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Write this down. 560.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's Faith Marandola. And you are entered to win. All right, so listen, at the end of the night, I'm gonna announce who won the tickets for the concert. And then in a few more weeks, we're gonna announce the other contest. All right, Faith?
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Have a great night, Faith. We love you.
All right, be blessed. Love you guys too.
Bye bye. Lucy, you can hear me, right?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, so that was a fabulous answer, by the way.
Awesome.
And that's why I want to get you on. That's why I got to get you to Overcomers Group too. As a matter of fact, I announced that you were going to be on the radio tonight, and they all looked at me with this evil eye, like, "When are you going to get her to come to the group?"
They sure did.
Yeah. Coleman's the witness, right?
No, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I said, "I'm working." She's
coming. The whole team's coming.
That's right. I said they're coming. I said you got to wait till after the Christmas holiday, though. Right now, they got a lot of things going on. They're booked up, but I said probably in January I'm going to get you guys out of here. So you got to help me save face here, okay? Please. All right. So hey, did you just say you went to 7 different programs?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Are we back on the air?
Yeah. Oh, you've never been off the air. You're still on the air.
Oh, praise God. Okay.
That whole answer was on the air. Everybody heard that answer. All right.
Okay. Yes, I went away 7 times.
All right. And what were the programs that you went to? Were they all faith-based or?
They were all faith-based. I had been going into programs since I was about 20 years old. And the last time I went away, I was 28. But I had been using since I was about 13. So that was a whole lifetime in itself.
Right. So you got me beat. Actually, I've only done one program. It was Teen Challenge.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
That's
one.
Awesome.
It didn't work the first time, though. I did exactly what you did. I did great. I graduated. I actually worked for the program for a while, and then I fell. But God, in his sovereign grace, and his love for me, got me back on track and really basically invaded my life. It wasn't like I cried out to him. It was basically like he kicked open the door, drug me by my hair and my head and yanked me with him. So, and I'm grateful for that.
Yes.
So,
amen.
So here's what I want to do. Let me just put a shout out there. People, if you're listening, I want you to call in. I got Lucy on the phone here, and I know there's some questions you want to ask her. I'm going to have her talk about what she's doing now with Faces of Change, and you're going to want to hear that because that is really, really awesome. I'm going to take another quick break. I'm going to play a little King and Country, Little Drummer Boy. It's my favorite song by them, and then we'll be right back. All right, guys?
Awesome.
For King and Country, Little Drummer Boy. Man, I love that song.
Good song.
Man, they're so talented. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're such a great band. You know what I mean?
You're shining on them pretty hard there.
I am. But they are really good. You know, they always remind me of my brother Gabe, because Gabe is the one who told me about them. Yeah. And Gabe's cool like that, too.
Gabe is
like,
cool.
Plays drums and jumps around and plays guitar and, you know, yeah. He's just cool like that. Lucy, I have the coolest brother in the world, okay? Yeah. First of all, he's really good looking. He's really musical. He's got a great personality. He's like, you know, everything you'd want probably in a man if you were a woman. Plus, he loves the Lord. So, and he's just the coolest guy you could ever meet. Every time I hear their songs or I see them a video, I just think of my brother Gabe. So, all right, enough about me and my brother Gabe. Lucy, we want to talk about you a little bit more. So, let's talk about me and you were just talking, and we were talking about how why people relapse. And you were mentioning to me that for you, you had some deep-rooted issues that you just couldn't, you didn't give up, that you didn't want to give up, or maybe even know you didn't have there, and that was one of the reasons that you kept going back. That's why you had to do so many programs. Does that sound right?
Yes. And it did. It were actually several reasons. I think you talked a little earlier about a few other ones, but yeah, one of them was definitely the abuses that I had went through. They were just so deep, you know, and they were just so far that I would let anyone in or even let God into those areas to go to. And so every time I finished those programs, you know, I still was undone. And so I go back out full of this hurt. And we've seen this with other individuals that we've sent away. I was saying to you a couple of months ago, we had a young lady who picked up again, who loved the Lord, but she kept relapsing because she had been severely abused at home. And she had never been able to overcome that, like really overcoming, and it kept taking her back. And, you know, she got, they had to get her out of the last program she was in, and she went home and picked up and she relapsed. And, you know, it's very heartbreaking.
Right.
And that's why it's so important, like the groups, like the overcomers groups, you know, the groups that we do and plugging in at church and accountability and go, if you have to go away to program, you have to go away to a program.
Right.
You know, it's so important to allow God to use these tools, these programs and the people in our lives and these groups to really help us heal from these hurts.
Right. Yeah, I tell people all the time, you can't do it by yourself, okay?
That's right.
You got to be around people who are striving to want to be more like Christ and striving for the same things that you're striving to do. And that's why I believe the community groups are so vital. And I know you have some community groups down there. We're going to talk about them. You have a couple groups during the week. So after you got out of the Hoving Home, which when did you get out? What year was that you graduated the Hoving Home?
I think I got out. It's always a little muddy for me. but I think I got out in 98.
Okay.
And then you're supposed to stay out for a year and then go back and graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me about 2 years. I graduated in 2000 because my first year out, I'm telling you, it took me a lot of tries. I remember I had a couple of bumps in the road that year, and I didn't feel right to go back and graduate. Like, I just felt like I really didn't do live the way I had learned to live at the home, you know?
Right.
And so I felt too, you know, like, nope, I'm not ready to graduate. And then the following year, in 2000, I finally called up Beth, the director, and I said, Beth, I did it. It's been a year. I'm ready.
Right.
And then I was able to go back and graduate.
Awesome. So now after you graduated, what did you do? I mean, what did you, you know, a lot of people when they graduate these things, they go right back to their old environment. same places, same people, and they wind up relapsing. Or lately, we've been hearing about a lot of people that are dying. I mean, they're going back to the same.
Well, God kept me from going home for a couple of years. And, you know, I always say, like, Camden, you know, it was my hometown. I'm very familiar with it. It was my Egypt. And I always said, before I can go back to Egypt, I have to get Egypt out of me.
Right.
And I always had Camden in my heart. Like, I knew one day I'm going back. I felt very burdened for the city, very burdened. But, and that's why that was one of the reasons I always went back too early, too, you know?
Right.
And there's, you know, there's several things there, but I felt burdened for the city, and so, but, you know, I was terrified to go home. I had tried that many times, and I have failed.
Right.
So this last time, I just kind of laid it down. Even though I could tell you everything that was going on in Camden, I was living in Rhode Island at the time. I actually got married in the year 2000 as well. I met my husband same year I graduated.
Okay.
We've been married 18 years now.
Congratulations.
And he's a Connecticut boy, and he loves me because I brought him back to Jersey.
That poor man.
You brought him to Camden.
Jeez.
So we came back, you know, to the church that actually sent me to the Walter Hovey Home, which is a Calvary Assembly of God in Pennsauken, and we, you know, got plugged in immediately here, and got under our pastor. We came to our pastor and said, "This is the vision that we believe God has given us," and he said, "Okay, well, I want you to lay it down, and I want you to serve here at the church, and if it comes back up, if the Lord brings this back up, we'll know that it's God."
Amen.
And that's exactly what we did. And so we served whatever way we could serve, and got plugged in. And I began to volunteer at this other ministry in Camden called the Fellowship House. And there they did children's ministry, but they also did some support meetings. And so I went there and I volunteered for a couple of months helping out with these support meetings. And then that went from a little part-time job, and then it turned into a full-time job as the secretary. But during my lunch hour, I was sending people away. I was outside giving the girls sandwiches. I was, you know, just like, I just wanted to help people who were in the same place I was. And so one day the president came and he said, "Okay, we're firing you from being a secretary because you're lousy at it. You're a lousy secretary. But we are going to hire you at a full-time job and just develop an addictions program. Do what you need to do. Have groups. Send people away. Do what you need to do." And so God gave me the ability. I didn't know what I was doing.
Amen.
But he helped me to make a plan, and we started assessing people, getting them into detox, sending them away, running the support meetings, and it was phenomenal. And I did that for about 10 years there.
Wow. Let me just stop you for a second. Yeah. I just want to say a couple of things. So,
sure, sure.
So you got out of the program and you came back, you got married and you came back to the area, to the church that sent you to the program, and you had a passion and you had a goal in mind, or a dream, or something that God laid on your heart, something you wanted to get back to your community. And the pastor at that time said, "You're going to lay it down for a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to lay that down. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to humble yourself and you're going to serve. And then if in due time, if God brings it back up, then we'll know it's from God, and he'll bring it back up at a time that you're probably ready." It sounds like it anyway. That's what he's saying. So first of all, I want to tell you how valuable what you did was, and how other people need to hear that, because there's an amount of humility that you have to have when you get out of a rehab and you're starting your life over again and you're trying to seek God, and you know, you do have a lot of passions, you have a lot of desires, you want to do this, you want to do that, but you know, I'd been back probably 3 or 4 months, and they were doing the River Line here at our church, and I went to the men that Mike Keene, his name is, and Lou Constantini. Mike is my best friend, my mentor, and then Lou, he runs the men's group here. And I went to him, I said, "Look, they need guys for the River Line, and that goes down to Camden. I want to go down and help." And they both looked at me and they said, "No." I said, "What do you mean? I'm good. I'm ready. I'm fine. I haven't used it in a long time. I love God. I'm sold out to Christ. I can be valuable down there. Plus, I'm going to be surrounded by people. I have accountability." And they said, "You're not ready to go to Camden yet." And I'm going to tell you, at first I wanted to say, yes, I am, and I'm going, but everything, you know, the Holy Spirit just kind of checked me in place and said, just humble yourself and just listen. Just listen to what these people...
And that's why you only went to one program.
Yeah.
You listened immediately. Right, yeah. It took me 7 times.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was immediately, but it was faster than you. We could say that anyway. So that's just so valuable. And then look what God did in your life, right? You're volunteering, you're serving, and then you're working in another place part-time, doing an awful job apparently, but your heart is there and God's so in it that he puts you in a position that you can start doing what you want to do, you know, of that dream of yours. I mean, that is amazing. And I'm going to tell you what, it's an exact thing that's going on in my life. I mean, there were things that I wanted to do. I wanted to start a recovery group when I first got out. I wanted to get involved in more things. I wanted to start working with people. And, you know, I just sat back and I listened and I said, you know, God, when you're ready, when it's time to go, you're going to let me know when it's time to go. You know what I mean?
And I'm so glad that I didn't do it back then because I wasn't ready. I would have destroyed it.
That's right.
I mean, even now, I'm glad God, you know, just really helped me because sometimes I think that I'm going to mess this all up, Lord. Right. But, you know, I know that he, you know, that's how he works. You know, it's just being obedient to him.
That's right. That's right. So tell me about Faces of Change now. So tell me how it started. Tell me where you started it and where we're at now with it.
Okay, and you know I'm a girl, and I know we have like probably 10 minutes left. So I'm going to try to cut this short story down.
It's okay.
I will take you through every alley and every street.
I don't need every alley, every street. I just need the core subs and stuff. But I'm allowed to go over my time limit. I don't have to stop at 11, but you know we don't need every street though. So go ahead.
So. I'm just over the top for Faces of Change because this is God's thing, and he is just helping us, you know, teaching us to manage it and what to do, and you know, souls, lives are being saved, and it's really exciting to watch. But we had written a nonprofit. We were going to originally start with, like, transitional living because I was working at the Fellowship House, and the Lord kind of put this in my heart to write this nonprofit. And for 3 years before I left the Fellowship House, I wrote it. And it took us a year. We got it all together. We had all the pieces, intervention, outreach, aftercare. And then it just kind of stopped with us, you know? And so we didn't feel God doing anything else. And so we don't want to go ahead of God. We don't want to push doors open. So we just laid it down. And then 3 years later, you know, forward, I feel the Lord telling me that it's time to leave Fellowship House after 10 years. And I'm like, this is crazy. You know, like, I really enjoy this job, even though I was a little burnt out because I was doing a lot of the pieces all by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, and I even get paid to do this. It helps me earn a living.
Right, right.
And so I kept feeling God tug at my heart, it's time to go. And so I took a step of faith and resigned. And walked away, and I thought I was going to take, you know, I didn't realize then God was giving me a sabbatical because the real work was getting ready to begin. I really thought in my heart that I was done with addiction. Like, I thought, wow, this is so crazy. I thought I was going to do this for the rest of my life, but I guess I'm not.
Right.
And, you know, it was just God kind of dealing with some things in my heart. And 4 months later, during my devotional time, I felt God impressing my heart that the place I was working at before was going to close their addiction. And I remember jumping out of my seat, and I got dressed, and I went to the director. I drove there, and I said, you know, are you guys closing this program? And I remember his eyes were like deers in the headlights, you know, like how do you know?
Right, like you who know? Told you
and
that?
And he said, I'm not at liberty to say, but you'll be the first to know. And about a month later, that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
The program was shut down. Right after that, I visited him. I went to my pastor. He said, let's pray on this. You know, let's pray about it. Let's see if this is God. And a month later, that's what happened. Mm. And Faith of the Change was born.
Wow.
And my church carried us, you know, for several years. You know, we kind of was under them. We didn't function right out of our own nonprofit. We functioned under the church because we didn't have, you know, two nickels to rub together.
Right.
So the church really took care of us.
Wow.
and really, you know, took care of everything, all the food for the streets, and they just really poured in abundantly.
Now you were working out of ministry. Were you working out of your car? You told me right earlier.
Excuse me?
You were working out of the trunk of your car, any place you could set up your laptop.
Yeah, when we started, we were doing a little breakfast with another ministry, and then one day somebody made soup, and he said, let's go take the soup to the transportation center, and out of that, out of the trunk of the car, we started this huge outreach that was serving food and clothing and toiletries in like three locations in the city. We were getting about 50 to 70 volunteers every Sunday night. It was phenomenal. Wow. It was a well-oiled machine.
Right.
And then one day, some events happened in the city. You know, they're really trying to steer away from a lot of the feeding on the street. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to be obedient to that. But we weren't told we couldn't go out and minister and preach the gospel. And so we kind of changed our ministry to backpacking. This is just our outreach portion of ministry. So we backpack. We have toiletries, snacks, hygiene kits. We have information. We do minister to the homeless. We also have a team that ministers to the ladies on the strip involved in prostitution. And we have really nice bags for them with everything that a girl needs to kind of live on the street. That's we let awesome. Them know where our meetings are. We let them know we can help.
Right.
And then we have support meetings. Right now we have two different locations in the city. And then those who want to go inpatient come back and see us for an assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we help them with detox, and we find a Christian program somewhere in the United States that best fits them. You know, we do program matching.
Wow. So how many people...
And I just want to say this really quick because it's very, very important. You know, a lot of people hear from me and Will many times that we have a team of individuals that help us.
Right.
You know, our church, people from our church, we have leaders that come out with us. You know, our core leaders who come out every single week, who love our folks, who are always out there. We're not alone. You know, we're probably those front faces, but there's a lot of other people who make this happen.
So you have a big support staff that works with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what you need, because the need is great. It says the harvest. What is it? The workers are the harvest is big, but the workers are few. Right.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
How many people do you think you've gotten into programs?
Well, if I count between from when I started, that you know, it's been 15 years now that I've been doing this, 10 on my own,
right.
5 with other ministry, I mean, and 5 with Faces of Change. I have to honestly say it's probably about over 1,000 people.
Wow.
With Faces of Change right now, I haven't done our numbers. We're doing our numbers for this year. But I think with just Faces of Change, it's probably going to be about 400.
Wow.
But if you count both, it's about 1,000.
That's what boots on the ground will do for you. I mean, that's how you're gonna beat the drug epidemic. You're gonna get out there,
yeah,
and you're gonna get on the streets, and you're gonna love on these people,
yeah,
and you're gonna show them that there's hope. Okay. Lucy, did you hear what I said about how much money the government put out to try to help with drug prevention?
I heard that.
Okay. $2.6 trillion last year. Lucy, what do you think?
You said we could do damage.
Man, we could do some. That's right. We could do some damage, girl, with $2.6 trillion. Okay.
Let's talk about humble beginnings.
Yeah, humble beginnings. I mean, come on. They're out there pounding the pavement. They put 400 people through a program. Okay? And let me tell you.
Thank you, Lord.
You guys don't got $2.6 trillion, do you?
No, we don't. Yeah. We run on donations.
That's right. But the Lord is good. And when the Holy Spirit's working on somebody, he's gonna come through. And he has done a great work with you. And I can see the great work that's going on down there. I'm so excited for it. And what I want you to tell, just one more thing. I want you to tell us, now, you got some donations for a building, correct?
I did. And before I forget, I just want to give Overcomers Group a shout out for the warm socks that they sent us. Thank you.
Yeah,
those are heated socks.
I know.
I was like, whoa.
I know them.
These are like...
I know.
Good stuff. So, yeah.
They're nice.
Thank you.
No problem. You gotta thank my wife. That was her thing. She headed that whole thing up. She spearheaded that whole thing, and she was on it.
Yeah.
Yes, so,
thank you, Michelle.
Yep, and we had some, we had a one donor guy wanted to give $100, so he gave $100, and we had a bunch of people bring in socks and just bring in money. I mean, it was really good. I mean,
that's one of the least donated items, and it is a huge need. I've actually seen people take their socks off and their skin come off with the sock.
All right. Well, then.
Socks are a big thing.
Okay. So, Overcomers is your official sock drive ministry. So, when you're low on socks, you call us, and we'll put the drive together, and we'll get you some more socks.
Thank
all right.
You so you're much.
Like, no problem.
You
we're glad.
That Overcomers group.
That's right. Overcomers.
Step it up.
So I'll tell you really, really quick, because I know we don't have time, but we had, as we were doing all of this and just serving the Lord with our outreaches and our support meetings, one of our faithful volunteers said one day, you need your own building, and he gave us $50,000, and we started searching for a building, and we didn't have enough for the building we found, and another donor just came up to us another Sunday and gave us another 50. They both gave us 10. And we bought this building in North Camden for $120,000, free and clear. We own it.
Wow.
And it's being rehabbed right now. And so there we're going to offer, we'll be able to extend our services. I'm hoping that we can triple the amount of people that we send away a year, because there'll be other people assessing and helping. We can have other support meetings for loved ones that have, you know, someone on the other side of addiction, grief counseling, and, you know, just some other services. We're also going to be doing some family violence things, some violence prevention things.
Wow.
And so we're excited to see what God's going to do with all of this.
I'm excited for you, and I want to come see the building. We're gonna come. We're all
Anytime
gonna come.
You want.
Well, we're all gonna come down. We definitely want to come down. We want to come see the building. We want to see everything you're doing. We want to get involved somehow. That is such what a story. What a story. I mean, what?
Thank you so much.
You know,
that is fantastic.
I feel so good right now after hearing your story. I mean, hope. Like I tell everybody, hope is alive and well, people. All right. You're doing a wonderful work, and I thank you so much. Listen, I have a call. So just hold on one second. Let me see if I can take this call, see if they have a question for you. Give me one second.
Okay.
Overcomers Radio, you're on the air.
This is Faith. I just wanted to make a quick comment about the number of people that you've helped get into programs this year. You don't need all those trillions of dollars, because you're way more effective with donations and God driving
That's
you.
That's right. That's right, Faith. Amen, girl. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Praise the
good
Lord.
Night.
Have a good night. All right. So, what Faith said was that you don't need all that money. She said, "What you need some people who want to who have the same heart for you, some donations, and the Holy Spirit, and a willing heart.
Boots on the ground.
And boots on the ground. That's what I say. Face the changes. Boots on the ground. Front line
boots
making it happen.
Ground.
Boots on the ground. Front line making it happen."